On this day that we celebrate Mary, the mother of our Lord, in these words from this beautiful Magnificat, the Song of Mary, which is actually not just a song that Mary made up, by the way, on the spur of the moment. This was a song that was sung generations before when Hannah, who was also a woman who had a surprising birth, a surprising pregnancy, also sang a song, very much the same song that Mary sings now, which is just this beautiful, and I haven't even gotten to the sermon yet, this is just like a sidebar on this, but isn't it beautiful how Mary has this, all of the scriptures are right at her fingertips, they're right in her heart, and so when the time comes, when the appropriate scripture is to be sung, bam, there it is, she has it. And this is exactly the beauty and the blessing of when we read year after year, week after week, the scriptures that are so much become a part of us. Then at some point we say in our life, something happens and we go, oh, that's right. This is exactly the scripture. And it was in me for this very moment so that now I can hold on to it and bless God or rejoice with God or feel God's comfort. We all have these beautiful scriptures in us, the liturgy, which works in us every single week. Those are the reason we have the liturgy. And I'm just going to tell you this. Years ago, I was taking the kids to the high school kids to Nicaragua, and we were watching this movie, which was the story of Oscar Romero, who was a bishop, Archbishop of El Salvador. Anyway, in the movie, he is going up to the cathedral to try to have a mass, and all the people are behind him. And the army, the military, had taken over the cathedral, and they weren't going to let him in. He wanted to go in, they weren't going to let him in, they weren't going to let the people in. So there they are, standing in the dirt streets in San Salvador, and what are they going to do? They can't get in the church. He turns to the people, and he says, "Let us begin the Mass. The Lord be with you." And they say,
"And also with you."
And they go on with the Mass. At that point in the movie, I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, click, stop the movie. And I'm telling these kids, you know, who come to church, we do the same thing over and over every week. And I said to them, that is why we do the liturgy the same way every week. Because there's going to come a time when you're not going to have a book in front of you. And you're going to need it in your soul. And they all went, oh, yeah. That's the end of the parenthesis. So, Mary, in this beautiful song, is got all of these reversals going on. And it's not like things that are going to happen. It's stuff that's already happened. God has taken the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, those who are proud of heart, he has cast down, those who are rich, he has sent away empty, those who are poor, he fills with good things. These are the reversals that we see all the time in this song. And they're beautiful, and they're lovely. And sometimes I feel like, darn, is this reversal really for me? Or is it against me? Like, I lead a pretty good life the way the world is right now, upside down, not the way God intended it. My life is good. And compared to most of the people in the world, I'm pretty rich. So how is it that Mary's song, that God is going to take all of that and turn it upside down, or has done that, how is that good news for me? And the answer is, a lot of times it feels like it's not good news for me. I kind of want to say, oh, I wish I were more in solidarity with the poor. I wish I were more in solidarity with those who are lowly. But really, not. And so how in the world is this good news for me? I have a friend. His name is Thomas. And Thomas has had this situation where he was in this house in a very expensive part of the world. He had this beautiful house that he was able to afford. It was a rental. And he was in there for several years, and it became his place. And it was beautiful and good, and everybody rejoiced because he had this great thing. And then the owner of the house was about to retire and gave Thomas loads of time. Said, look, I'm going to retire. I'm going to come back. I'm going to need to live in my house that I'm renting you right now. So you're going to have to take your time to find a place to live. Well, I mean, Thomas isn't rich, but he's not. You know, he's okay. And so it's like, but he was like totally stunned. How can you do this to me? This is my house, my place. How can the universe do this to me? You, my landlord, all these years, how can you do this to me? Wow. There is this sense of the world being turned upside down. And there he was, struggling with it. His world was being turned upside down. And the landlord gave him all this time, but he did nothing to try to find another place. He simply sat in denial because really, finally, he didn't want to grieve that he was going to lose his place. And so he sat for month after month after month doing nothing, getting extensions. His landlord was very generous to him. But when it came time, he finally set a deadline. You have to be gone by him. And he had done nothing to find a place. He was going to go couch surfing with his friends. Oh, it breaks your heart. But it's also this sense of, like, I can't believe that I am powerless over this. We who are so used to being in control couldn't believe that this was happening to him and he could do nothing about it. And I think that's something that all of us can understand, right? How can it be possible that this thing has happened to me? All right, so we leave that for. There is another reversal that I think will speak to this in the Magnificat. It's a reversal that I don't know that we actually see very often. I certainly have not seen it. And that is this. When Mary sings, the first thing she says is, my soul magnifies the Lord. Do you know what that means? It means my soul makes God greater. Do you believe that? That this young, poor Jewish woman is claiming that her soul can make God better than God is? That's stunning. But it's not unusual for the Gospel of Luke, because the last words from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is resurrected, he shows himself to his disciples, and he says, and then they go off, and then Luke says, and they were constantly in the temple worshiping and blessing God. That's the reversal. Wait a minute. Isn't God the one who blesses us? Anytime something good happens, don't we say, this is the blessing of God? Here's Luke saying in Mary's mouth and in the disciple and in his own narration that it is the disciples, it is us who also bless God. How is that possible? Well, I think we're okay with things like all of creation blesses God, right? You've heard that, right? The mountains bless the Lord. The rising sun blesses the Lord through the day, and the moon blesses God by night. The flowers of the field bless God with their beauty. We're okay, maybe, with that. That sort of sounds right. All of creation blesses God. So what are we, chopped liver? We can't bless God? We can. The reason that the way, I think, that creation blesses God is by being what they are. The mountain blesses God simply by being the mountain. The flowers bloom because that's what flowers do. And that blesses God. And we? Well, at least Mary. When Mary is confronted with the angel and the whole thing is laid out to her, she has a couple of questions, you know. She says, wait a minute, how can this be? I don't know, I haven't known a man yet. But it gets explained. And then Mary's response to bless God. Let it be to me according to your will. Let me be and do what I was created for. And that, I think, is the beautiful idea that we bless God. We bless God in our being and in our doing what we were meant to be and what we were meant to do. And of course, there are many times when we fail to bless God in that way. But holy mackerel, each one of us is a blessing to God. I know what you're thinking, because this is my thing. Oh, come on, really? I am a blessing to God. I can make God better. Let me ask you something else. Do you know anybody that's a blessing? Other people besides yourself. It's okay for them to be a blessing, right? But for me to be a blessing to God, isn't that going a little bit overboard? And the answer is no, my dear children, because you have been adopted. You are children of God. You are heirs to the promise that was given first to Abraham and has been fulfilled in Jesus. And as heirs to the promise, you are a blessing. Like all children are a blessing, right? In the Hebrew tradition, the children are the blessing of God. And so you are a blessing. Sometimes, to be a blessing, we have to do something that Martin Luther said. Martin Luther said, whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Luther said, every time we pray that prayer, we are praying against ourselves and our created kingdoms and our will. But we are doing it so that we may become more of what God intended us to be. Not what we think we ought to be. Not what we intend, but what God intends us to be. And what God intends us to be, that is what blesses God. So, Thomas hasn't quite, it's worked out. He finally figured it out. He has to go somewhere. And in order to do that, he had to do what he was absolutely fighting against. And that was to grieve. To grieve the loss of this place. And so now he says to himself, grieve, breathe, move on. There are times when we are called into that same struggle. We don't want to grieve. We don't want to face. We want to do what we are doing, what we want to do. But we are children of the Most Holy One. And we can, with boldness,
ask God, take away my kingdom, take away my will, and let your will be done. And God, I already can tell you, is compassionate for us. Listen to this. I know this because of the story.
So, Rabbi Ishmael ben Elisha tells a story, and it's in some of the written tradition, and the story goes like this. It was my turn to be a priest in the Holy of Holies. He went into the Holy of Holies and had a vision of God, crowned God. And God was in the temple and said, Ishmael, my son, bless me. Without missing a beat, Ishmael says, may your compassion overcome your anger. May your compassion preempt all of your other qualities. May you deal compassionately with your children. And may you not judge us solely by strict justice.
And then Rabbi Ishmael reports, and then God nodded at me. Rabbi Ishmael has blessed God to be compassionate. And God is compassionate to us. And we can be a blessing to God in the very same manner of compassion.